Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Of Life Radio, where, you know, just from my opinion, I have to say it has not been a particularly good week for the cause of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. Sadly, I'm not sure it's going to get a whole lot better, but we're going to persevere here. I am, of course, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from a rather unusual day here in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Unusual insofar as I looked out a few minutes ago outside the bunker here, it was actually snowing relatively hard. And that's snow is something we just don't do around here. People who aren't familiar with this area might be surprised just because as far north as we are, but no. Close to the coast, doesn't snow. Over on the other side of the mountains, snows a lot. But, okay. Moving on. As always, the number here is 949-272-9588. And let's see where we are here. Now, last time I was here a week ago, I mentioned we were in the final hours of the presidency of Donald Trump. And so that was the last show of the Trump administration. This is, therefore, the first show of the administration of Joe Biden. So, how's that been going so far? Let me get a little coffee here. Clear my throat out. Well, just from my perspective, for whatever it's worth, remember back, you know, not too long ago, there's a lot of talk about Biden and the Ukraine and, you know, his son and the deals there and pressuring and all, everything. Well, we have a new Ukrainian connection with Joe Biden, I think. Because what I'm seeing in the United States, in my opinion, I'm going to get into some of this, but I'm seeing the biggest meltdown since Chernobyl. What's happening is the political equivalent or the societal equivalent of just a nuclear disaster. So, where does that leave us? Well, for somebody like me, it could be a really good thing because if you're in the business of, you know, coming on here and talking about stuff from time to time, sometimes it's a little difficult to find something you want to talk about. And when you have a president like Donald Trump, we generally support, but kind of a loose cannon, unpredictable, or at least not so much unpredictable in what he did, but unpredictable in what he was going to say. Made it a little difficult sometimes to make sense of it and find, you know, keep it going. These days should be pretty easy, because it's always easier to complain than it is to find something good to say. So, yeah, good times ahead for some of us. A lot to complain about, and I'm going to talk about some things. I mean, how much I've got to talk in like 20-some minutes here. But, I think there's probably more than enough to fill quite a few shows just so far. I mean, may have to play catch up for a while, or maybe not. But I think what I have to do right now, the very beginning, first show of the Biden administration, I just want to talk a little bit about myself, this show, what I've done here, what I plan to do here, and kind of how I plan to approach things here in the Biden administration. Just to be really, take it real simple, I plan to approach things the same way I did during the Trump administration, which was basically the same way I did during the Biden administration, or not the, Obama administration. Not much different, really. People may remember, I actually, when I first started this show, it was during the Obama administration. And then some various things, I sort of went away for a couple of years, came back in the early part of the Trump administration, and been here pretty much every week since then. But here's the way this kind of works with what I did and what I plan to do moving forward. Now, I didn't much agree with Obama when he was president, but again, good times if you're looking to just complain about stuff. I did tend to, in general, agree with President Trump on policy issues, had a lot of disagreements on style issues, and some on policy. But here's the thing about, what I did in both the Obama administration and the Trump administration. There's nothing automatic about what I say, what opinions I give, what I think about anything. We've just seen 4 years where most of the people seem to be pretty automatic. You could tell exactly what everybody, go to the mainstream media. They had to disagree with Trump no matter what. It goes back to, just can't normalize him. You have to oppose him at every turn. And if you say, if you kind of say something, or, where you think Trump's going to do something, and so you criticize him and then he does what you say he should have done, then you have to change your mind just to make sure you're constantly disagreeing with him. I'm not going to be doing that sort of thing. Once again, if I did, I generally agreed with Trump, but on a few things. I mean, I remember specifically early on, and then about a year later, when he launched a bunch of missiles into Syria, I did not see how the national interests of the United States were helped by that, and I criticized him, called him out on it, on both times he did it. I called him out quite frequently on matters of style, at least, not so much on policy, but style. But I also, on policy, I criticized him just because I didn't think he paid enough attention to the national debt. It's like all of these people, he wants to lower, you know, I agreed with lowering taxes, but you know, he did not lower spending, so the national debt just can't. And, I mean, these were things I disagreed with him on, and I said it here. But when he did something that I agreed with, I would say, you know, I'd say that. Now, back in the Obama years, I tended to disagree with him. But, I don't know, I don't, you know, there were things that I did agree with, and I said so at the time. Sadly, it's been a while, I can't remember what those things were. Certainly, you know, wasting Osama bin Laden would be something, but I think that happened before. I'm sure that happened before I started doing this. But, you know, there were things. I gave him credit when I thought he deserved it. That's the way it's going to be moving forward. I am sure that somewhere along the line, President Biden is going to do something that I say, yeah, that was good. Good call. Okay? It's fine. I'll do that. I have no problem. I'm not going to be like some people who are going to automatically disagree with everything he says, everything he does, every policy decision he makes. You know, I'll take it individually. And if he does something good, if he deserves credit, I'll give it to him. And if he deserves criticism, I'll give him plenty of that too. But I have to say, right from the start going forward, I'm going to look the same way as I did with Obama, even though I disagreed with him. The default position, when I look at the actions of, you know, a president or some leader or some policy, whatever, the default position where I start from is always going to be, I am going to operate on the assumption that the decisions that President Biden makes are what he honestly considers to be in the best interest of the United States. I may not agree that that's in the best interest of the United States, but I'm going to operate on the assumption that he is operating in good faith, not for, you know, some personal gain or some nefarious purpose. I'm going to give him credit. I always said that about Obama, except on a few very rare occasions when I just could not see how anybody possibly, I think I said once or twice in all the dozens of shows I did, or, you know, while Obama was president, that I just couldn't see it, and it seemed like he was motivated by evil or something like that. But for the most part, And if I disagree with him, I will say, okay, this is what he did, and this is why I disagree with it, but this is kind of how I can see that maybe he could have thought, you know, this is, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt as to where he's at. But my criteria for my opinions will be as they have always been. I look at simple facts of life. This is the way it is. And this is what works. All history says this works. All history says this other thing doesn't work. You do what doesn't work, you're violating the simple facts of life. I will call you out on it. And I look at what promotes personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. If Biden does something that meets that, it's a good thing. And I'll say so. When he doesn't, I'll say so also. So, the default position will always be I'm going to try and find a way to understand how he could believe that what he is doing is best, even if I disagree with it. And I'll say, this is what I think, this is what he's done, this is what I think he probably seems to believe, and this is why he's wrong in what he believes. But I am not going to automatically beat him up just because of who he is or any general policy things. Now, I guess I kind of have to say that there is one little kind of thing where he might get beat up, as I always put in the little very short blurbs that I write about the show, serious issues, less than serious attitude. Yeah, I like to go for a little humor, jokes now and then, so I may beat him up a little bit just for humor. Hopefully you'll be able to tell when I'm being less than serious about things, which is actually most of the time. So, you know, just as an example, you know, something I might say, ooh, hey, we have our first female vice president, or do we? Because since gender is a social construct, how do we know that John Adams wasn't our first female vice president? Do we have it, did he actually say that he identified as a male? Did anyone ever ask John Adams what his pronouns were? I mean, we've had quite a few vice presidents. I mean, yeah, okay. Just about, you know, in that, I'm going to, you know, try and give President Biden benefit of the doubt. If I disagree with him, I will, as I occasionally did. I used to do for quite a while, almost every show. You know, I would go over President Trump. I would give him what I called my chiefly advice. Tell him what I thought was doing, he was doing right, what he was doing wrong, what he should be doing. Maybe I'll do that with President Biden. But that's it. Okay. Let's go through most of the show without saying really anything. Let's just talk about a few things. Where do we want to get to? Okay. First off, as we all know, President Trump was again impeached. Why? No reason. But I guess last night it seems that the article of impeachment was officially delivered to the Senate. So they're scheduling a trial, and one of my favorite members of the Senate, Rand Paul, he brought up a point of order, a procedural point. Can we do this? Is it even constitutional? 45 senators had a vote, a procedural vote. Seems that 45 senators voted that impeaching a no longer serving president or no longer sitting president or no longer in office president wasn't even constitutional. Therefore, the entire thing was moot. Yeah, 45 senators voted that the entire impeachment process was not constitutional. Only five Republicans voted that it was even constitutional. 17 Republicans would have to, and all Democrats would have to vote to convict. So, yeah, it seems like this whole impeachment round two is dead on arrival. But they seem to think that it just had to be done. Even Joe Biden, you know, in a little talk earlier, acknowledged that it wasn't going to happen. But you seem to think it's important to go through the procedure. I don't know. This looks to me most likely what would end up. Should they actually have anything vaguely resembling a trial, which I guess they have to, they'll be acquitted, and then Trump will find himself some kind of a camera and microphone to get in front of and say how he was totally vindicated and how the Senate just proved that he was perfect and the greatest president of all time and yada, yada. I think if Chuck Schumer had any brains about things, he would try and find some way to just make it go away without a trial. Just my humble opinion. A little chiefly advice for Chuck Schumer. And like I think I mentioned it, the whole thing, they seem to want to ensure that Trump cannot run again. You know, next election, Chucky, you're being crazy. You would love for Trump to run again, at least as it stands right now. I guess maybe that might change, but right now, no, I think... I don't think Trump could win again, so it would be good. Now, there is one big, of course, wild card is even if he survives to the end of his term, Joe Biden has indicated he is not going to run for re-election. I guess that could change, but dude's old. In fact, it occurred to me, you know what? A week ago, slightly less than a week ago, Donald Trump was able to accomplish a really amazing thing, something he hadn't been able to accomplish in quite a few years, something I managed to accomplish even 4 years ago. Well, a week ago, Donald Trump accomplished that. He became younger than the president. Yeah. For pretty much his entire administration, Donald Trump was the oldest president we had ever had. And as soon as he left office, the new president was older than him. So we now have, once again, the oldest president in American history. So I'm still wondering what the under-over is on how long he lasts. But that's it. Ah, boy, all kinds of things I wanted to talk about, and I'm not going to have time to get to much of any of it. So, let me see. Here's something interesting. I just saw just a little while ago. Okay. Among all the problems we had is Joe Biden had a pretty active first few days in office, all kinds of executive orders and this, that, and the other thing. And one of them was he was ordered a freeze in deportations for 100 days for illegal aliens. Well, the state of Texas brought suit against him for that. And guess what? A judge, Judge Tipton, he blocked the moratorium. Yeah, federal judge. I'm not sure. U.S. District Judge Tipton. I don't know who appointed this, who anything about this Tipton. If he's an Obama appointee, a Trump appointee, something, somebody before that. But it's the first, less than a week into his administration, he's already found out that you are some limits on things. You can't do that. Now, it seems kind of weird insofar as, yeah, maybe, you know, not smart for Biden to make a big deal. We are imposing a moratorium on enforcing the law. Remember, these immigration laws are, in fact, laws. When you impose a moratorium on anything, that's not good. You could just issue an order, say, change your priorities for enforcement on, you know, rather than deporting people, you should, you know, look around for murderers to deport and ignore everyone else or something like that. Because, you know, you can still enforce the law while, you know, changing your focus on what laws and how much and where the emphasis is. But, okay, you issued a moratorium on enforcing the law. This is a guy, the Constitution says, you know, first duty of the president, ensure the laws are faithfully executed. I think that's the terminology. And the first way he faithfully executes the laws is to issue an order saying we're not going to enforce the law. Seems kind of strange to me. So, there's that. Yeah. He also, but I guess so far some of the other executive orders, I guess the big thing is the Keystone Pipeline, and I don't have time to talk at all about that. Just some of the unions that endorsed Biden less than a week in office, and they're having some serious cases of buyer's remorse. So, that's it. Okay, well, I am just down to the last few seconds, so we'll just wrap this up for the time being. See you next week. Won't spend all my time telling you what I'm going to do. I'll just go ahead and do it. So, till next time.